I want to thank our Voices in Praise for their leadership this morning, especially in Stephanie's absence. Tremendous job. Thank you for your voices and your instruments. And I felt myself particularly moved by the first song. It fits right into the sermon, We Won't Be Shaken. It's a great piece, and we close with a wonderful song, The Same Power, which is also fitting into the message this morning beautifully. The sermon for this morning, as I mention it now, is entitled, Go Forward, March On. There are two scripture readings that are the readings from the lectionary this morning, Psalm 111, and then a story from the first chapter of Mark about a man with an unclean spirit, beginning at verse 21. And so listen as I read first the psalm, and then I'll turn to the Gospel of Mark with us this morning. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with the faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And then in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, from verses 21 to 28, the story about the man with the unclean spirit. I'll mention later what follows this story, which is very interesting. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once, his fame began to spread throughout the region of Galilee. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, this morning, give us listening ears, give us eyes to see, that we might listen to your word and apply it to our lives. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, how do you look at life? Do you have a metaphor, an image of life that you talk about with your family and friends? Is life for you, perhaps, like a battle? Some people use that analogy. Life is a battle. It's hard. For others, you may be watching this morning and thinking that life is like a journey. It's like a journey through life, through all the years. What a great journey it can be, an adventure. For others, you may use the analogy of a march. Life is like a march. I like the movie character Forrest Gump. He always used to quote his mother. Mother always said, Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates because you never know what you're going to get. Many people feel that way about life, especially about the last year, in fact. Let's go this morning with the analogy that life is like a march, a march. So many of our hymns and songs of faith that we sing together on Sunday, so many of them rally our hearts, and they give us courage to face life in whatever metaphor that we use. There is, of course, the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. It continues, who are marching off to war. That's life as a battle. There is the great hymn of faith, Lead Us, O King Eternal, which includes the line, the day of march has come. I believe it has come. And then this morning at the beginning of the 11 o'clock traditional service, we will sing the hymn, Guide Us, O Thou Great Jehovah. And it continues, Guide Us to the Promised Land. It's like a march. Those children of Israel, they were to escape from Egypt by God's hand. They were trying to get out through their march of the reach of Pharaoh and persecution and slavery in Egypt. And God had promised to guard their positions, both at the rear with his presence from behind, and also he would lead them onward. He would be out in front of them. And Israel loved this analogy, this image, this picture of God's divine protection both before them and behind them as they marched on toward the promised land. You will recall that ragtag group marched out of Egypt, and yet their joy turned to fear as they faced the barrier of the Red Sea and they could see the Egyptian army in pursuit of them. And they fearfully cried out to Moses in the story and found in Exodus, Moses, why did you lead us out here to die? And in the midst of that panic, God spoke to Moses. Moses, God said, why do you cry to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward, to march on. And then, as we know, when the people of Israel, when they stepped forward, that's when the miracle happened. The seas parted and the way forward for them opened, and the children of Israel marched forward and they were saved. In awe and in wonder, the salvation of their God, the Israelites continued marching on toward the promised land. And Psalm 111 is a wonderful psalm to read and rejoice in because it reminds us that he fed them and that he sent redemption to his people and he made for them a forever promise, which he called a covenant, a forever covenant, a promise that he would be with them forever. He led them, of course, to a new future. And surely that story, it speaks to us as individual Christians and the Christian church this morning in whatever circumstances that we face, even if life seems like a battle rather than a journey or a march. So easily we can lose faith. We can be fearful of the future. Adventure and challenge are often not our cup of tea. Always doing things, however, decently and in order can so quickly lead us to being overly careful and risklessness. Sometimes we even wish, of course, that we could go back to a simpler world, maybe the little church by the woods, by the dale, somewhere in the past. By the way, if I haven't told you by now, every pastor in Florida knows members of their churches who, faced with the present challenges that we face, have nostalgia for some former church up north where there are no problems and no headaches, right? What I want to assure you of this morning in the message is that the call of God is not behind us in just some yesterday. We must listen to our opportunities. We must listen to all of the challenges before us in our personal lives and in our churches. There are those times when God says to us, don't cry to me, go forward, move on. I can't tell you when those moments are, but sometimes I believe God says that to us. Move on, march forward. The early church had that sense of forwardness, if you read the Bible carefully. In the letter of Hebrews, we hear how those early Christians were persecuted. They won strength out of their weakness. In the letter of Hebrews, it tells us they were tortured, mocked, and scourged, and chained. They were imprisoned. They were stoned. They were killed by the sword. In fact, one of those first century Christians, a historian named Tertullian, He said defiantly to the Roman leaders, "We multiply when we are mown down by you." And then he said the famous line, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And just so, in all ages, the church has gone forward in times of great struggle. We need to hear that this same challenge comes to us not only as a church, but as individual Christians during our times. And I know very well that at any given time in this congregation, there are folks who are going through great struggles. There is sickness, there is infirmity, there is bereavement and grief. There are people who have financial struggles, and it's hard to be bold when those circumstances surround you. I'm one of those who've been through health challenges and near blindness. I know what it means to struggle throughout life. It's hard not to back away from responsibility and give up during those times, let alone take on new dreams and hopes for God and for yourself. And yet that's what God calls us to do. Move forward, march on. In other words, don't give up. But isn't the way to move forward when these kind of circumstances I mentioned befall us, isn't the way forward through those circumstances? That's the way forward. We cannot go back. We cannot go back to simpler times. We cannot go back to yesterday, and neither could the children of Israel. We are at our worst, are we not, when we only say, "Hold the line," or retreat in our commitments. At our best, we hear God calling out the hero within us, saying, "Follow me, go forward, march on." That's the message this morning, march on. In the Gospel of Mark that we heard this morning about Jesus healing the man with the unclean spirit that he cast out of the man, when he did that, all people were amazed because they said he spoke as one with authority, not like the other teachers. And after our reading, this is so interesting to me, Jesus does not follow up at what happened to the man with the unclean spirit. He doesn't tell the man anything, nor the crowd, about why he healed him. He just goes forward. And in the first chapter, note with me that he goes forward at Simon's house. He heals many others. And then he goes on a preaching tour in Galilee, and then he heals a leper, and on Jesus goes on his march. He didn't go back to find out what happened to any of them. He moved forward. It was Kierkegaard, one of my favorite Danish theologians and philosophers, who said, "Life can be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards." I wonder, can we learn from that this morning to move forward and not be stuck in the past? The psalm this morning gives us the image of a courageous people. They were grateful to God who performed wonderful deeds and made a forever covenant with them. At first, their exodus from Egypt, they found themselves afraid and in disarray, and they waited for some word of direction. And what did God say in that story in Exodus? He said, "Go forward." And so it always is. Go forward. While our annual meeting of a congregation was to be today, and now it's February the 14th, we'll be using that online platform of Microsoft Teams, and you will be able to click on that on our church website and be present at noon on that date. You have a Valentine date now on February the 14th at noon. But I wrote and planned this sermon as if the annual meeting was to be held today, not in several weeks from now. And so remember these words for February the 14th. This is a sermon for an annual meeting. But last year at this time, remember, we were celebrating the many reports that were in that annual report booklet of what God had been doing for us in the previous year of 2019. The pandemic began for us in this country, at least the lockdown, on March of 2020. But in 2019, Northwood was strong. Northwood continues to be strong in its prayer ministry, led by our deacons, We began Stephen ministry in this church way back in 1985. And after 35 years, we still have a good number of Stephen leaders and ministers in this church who've gone through the training. We have six of them who are active Stephen ministers at present, and at least two Stephen leaders. With Paul and I, that makes 10 people who are trained to care and listen professionally in this church. That's a lot of ministers, and that's a lot of ministry. 10 ministers. Last year's annual report, it took Stephanie Carson 2 pages. I always ask her, Stephanie, just do 1 page. And she said, it won't fit in 1 page. But 2 pages. It doesn't seem like it was 2 years ago that we had the Westminster Choir handbell group here. And they were with us for the second time. The sanctuary was packed with people looking for seats, shoulder to shoulder, if you recall. You can go online and look at the video of that in the archives. I remember being outside and trying to help people find a place to park. The parking lot was packed. The largest event of 2019, when I went back and looked at the annual report for last year, was our Ring, Sing, and Mingle event, which featured Christmas carols and our 5 handbell groups and worship. And in our music, you see, we have grown and grown over the years. And before this past year, we were peaking. We even had Hot Dog Sunday in the summer and Christmas in July. We had an event of outreach every month of the year through our worship, trying to reach out continually. We began many years ago, along with our sister Presbyterian churches, to develop a medical clinic in San Francisco, Honduras. And it has a bunkhouse there that a number of us have traveled to and helped with health clinics in the community there, many of which are of the poorest of the poor. And I remember over a decade ago going down there with Sam Englehart. And we stood on this large hillside, and the doctor said to us, Dr. Davila, he said, where do you think, Sam, the bunkhouse should be? Over here or over there on top of the hill? And Sam said, I think it would be great if it's on top of the hill. And there after his death, the Honduras committee that organizes the ministry there year to year, they named that bunkhouse Sam's Bunkhouse. We had 21 members 1 year go and be a part of that health clinic, and we still support it. We do a lot in mission and ministry here. We continue to do that. Our youth have gone again and again on mission trips, and they have a great fellowship led now by Rosalie Bradford, and we continue to reach out to families. I miss our wonderful Wednesdays as I look back, and those study times. Over the years, our midweek church family experience has provided good food, good fellowship, and good education for all ages, because King's Kids, you remember, took place just right before those meals. Technologically at Northwood, we have been updating and recreating our website thanks to our Director of Communications, Emily Canton, and the other staff. We have brought our communication capabilities into the 21st century, and that includes our live streaming, which began several years ago, not during the pandemic. In Christian education, we have our adults, for example, like the TCI class and Experiencing God class and the Presbyterian Women and many others. They continue to meet by Zoom. They have not retreated during this pandemic. What a wonderful fellowship that we have here. Learning takes place at every age. I could go on and on about our wonderful preschool, which continues in creative ways to teach during this pandemic and to deal with issues. And the way through your faithful giving, we have been able to renovate our buildings over the many years and update equipment. The Memorial Garden that we started over a decade ago, it provides a place to remember our loved ones. My point this morning is not to crow about the past, but to say that when you do look back, God has been faithful then, and God will be faithful now and in the future. That's the point. Back of the years, much has been done, and it seemed to many when things were done that it was a mighty wall and that the odds were against us to accomplish this or that. And yet you stepped up and marched on every time the call came. And the call comes now to step forward, to move forward and march on. And so today I want to sound the message one more time. I think God is saying to us, you haven't seen anything yet from this group of Christians and from this church, both as individuals and as a group. God has been faithful in the past, and God will be faithful in the future. We are not complacent during this pandemic. I see our leaders and our staff working every day creatively to think about what we can do next. We are considering abandoning one service online and taking it outside in the weeks to come. We're considering that. It is just very difficult during this time when we need groups of volunteers, and yet we do not feel it is worth the risk to enlist a great number of volunteers during this particular time. But we are moving forward nonetheless. I want to close this morning with the words of a poem. The words of a poem called Columbus by Joaquin Miller. The poem pictures an attitude of faith about which I'm talking about today. It's about the ship of the church where we are this morning in this room, in this center of the church. It's called the nave architecturally, and that means like the nave of a ship. The church has often been compared to as a ship, and that's why I'm quoting this particular poem. And those crew members of Columbus, they became disheartened on that journey to the new world. They were fearful, almost mutinous. And when they had not sighted land for so many weeks, the poem captures perhaps Columbus's attitude and that of his crew. And I quote from this poem as I close today. It's in the King's English, and so forgive me. They sailed and they sailed as winds might blow, until at last one mate said, "Why now not even God would know should I and all my mates fall dead? Then these very winds, they forget their way, for God from these dread seas is gone. Now speak, brave Admiral Columbus, speak and say to us a good word." And he said, "Sail on, sail on, and on." Let us pray as we come to our closing song. O Lord and our God, as we consider the challenge to move forward and to march on as your people and as individuals, remind us it is a greater one than Columbus who calls us forward. It is a greater one even than Moses. Indeed, it is Jesus Christ, our leader on the march. And Jesus Christ never calls us as individuals or as a church to retreat. He calls us to move forward, to march on. Amen.